saved June 16, 1967. And I am looking, I'm watching, I'm working, I'm waiting for that day. And it's exciting. I want to say tonight that churches that believe that the rapture is an any moment signless event in general tend to be weaker on end time prophecy. And they're therefore weak on watching and working for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say again tonight that the second coming of Jesus Christ, with the rapture being the first item of business at his return, is not a signless event. It is something preceded by signs. Peter knew that as an apostle. Jesus told him, he said, before I come back, Peter, you're going to be taken and martyred. He told him that. That was a prophecy to Peter personally that had to be fulfilled before the rapture. The rapture is imminent. You say that means it can happen before this service is over. No, that means you're to be watching for it. It can happen in your lifetime. It can happen in my lifetime. And we're to be watching for the developments leading up to this thing. And with each thing that happens, we are to grow in our anticipation. And the question is, are you a lazy watcher? Are you a lazy waiter? You know, if you're a lazy waiter, you are somebody that does not take people's orders and give them what they need. And while we're waiting for Jesus to come back, we're supposed to be giving them what they need. And I want to be doing that, and you need to be doing that. And so tonight, we are looking at this truth about where does the direct attack by Iran against Israel fit in the prophetic puzzle of the second coming? And it does fit in, and it leads up to it, because I've been telling you the Bible predicts a Jeremiah 49 war, and so don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. They're not just some nice country. No, they have a plan to have a caliphate. They want the revival of the old Persian Empire. And they want to get nuclear weapons and use ICBMs, because the ancient Iranians, who were Elamites, were excellent archers. And they used that in warfare. They have a plan to conquer Israel, friends. You say, oh, where do you get that from? The Prince of Persia. You ever heard of him? He's in Daniel. And it is an angelic spirit that has influence over the leaders of the present Iranian regime. And in Daniel's day, they had that same influence through the Prince of Persia. And the angel of the Lord had to fight his way through to Daniel to get the answer to Daniel's prayer, who was praying for prophecy concerning Israel. And so don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. Don't give me this moral equivalency like Alex Jones keeps trotting out. He needs to get into these prophecies. I like Alex Jones. I listen to him. But he needs to get into these prophecies. He doesn't understand them fully. And I'm just saying, that's why I'm a pastor. God's given me that insight, and God wants me to pass that along, and I'll do it. So don't be deceived about Iran's motives concerning Israel. Don't be deceived. Our second message was about how this will likely lead to a wider Middle East war that fulfills Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39, that fulfills Psalm 83 and fulfills Isaiah 17, 1 and 9. Don't be deceived. I have said it before. I'm going to say it again. The genie is out of the bottle. And you can't put the genie back into the bottle. I'm saying October 7, 2023, when the attack from Gaza and Hamas happened on Western Israel there, that began to have the genie come out of the bottle and the fulfillment of these prophecies that I've been preaching to you about. Have you been listening? Because now it's coming from the parchment of Scripture, and it's rolling onto the pavement of your life. And it's time, church, to wake up and smell the proverbial coffee. And we need God to shake some things up sometimes so that people will put their life upon Jesus Christ. And so I'm talking about this and have been talking about this, and we are going to get into a third message tonight. But all these things are coming together, and praise the Lord for it. There's like a convergence of things, and they're just coming together all at once, and you can see the events of the 70th week even now. I can even see a next prophecy, Ezekiel 38 and 39, setting up with the Houthis and Iranians and Russia and Turkey. They're all coming together. That's an outer ring of nations that will come against Israel after the inner ring of nations of Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17 take place. But I can see it because I see the prophecies and I can see it already getting into place. Everything is setting up. I can see the globalist one world government. How many of you can see that? Coming together. Do you know their goal by September is to have CBDC? How many know what CBDC is? CBDC. You should. See, preachers have preached on this for years. I'm sure Brother Morgan preached on this for years. But now it's here. It's one thing to preach on and say it's coming. But now it's a convergence. These things are coming together. Central bank digital currency. They want it by September in America. You need to pray against it. It's serious. Because once they get central bank digital currency, it means that you will have no cash, that all of your transactions will be monitored electronically, and they'll be able to take away money from you like they do in Red China if you don't have enough social credits to go along with what big government wants. This is globalism. This is wickedness. But this is where you and I are. Some of you, you've lived too long. Now you're here. Not really. God has a purpose. Amen? He has a purpose for us being where we are. So you need to understand, where does the direct attack by Iran against Israel fit into the prophetic puzzle? You remember the direct attack. How many of you remember the direct attack? For the first time in history, Iran attacked Israel directly, not through proxies like Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis in Yemen. They attacked Israel directly on April 14, 2024. Israel hit them back, and Brother Bob pointed this out to me. I didn't even know this. He said, Pastor, do you know where Israel hit them in that strategic strike? And I didn't know for sure where they were hit. He said, they hit them right around their missile sites, but not their missile sites directly. Can one of the men tell me where? I've mentioned it since then. Where, Brother Joe? Huh? It was in Elam, that is correct, which is in Jeremiah 49. And even more specifically, what in Elam did they hit? I've mentioned it. Perhaps it's good tonight that I mention this, because even Brother Matthew's not answering tonight. So, where did they hit? Brother Bob helped me with this. He knew it. I didn't know it. So I said, I'll share it. They hit the radar that would detect an attack against the missile sites. And they took the radar out. It's like poking your eyes out. It would seem they had a reason for hitting the radar. What do you think might be their reason for hitting that radar and poking Iran's eyes out? I would imagine they probably want to try to rebuild it, right? That's a rhetorical question. I imagine they probably want to try to rebuild it. But they're not going to be able to rebuild it if Israel hits soon rather than later. Keep watching. Because one thing I know, this prophecy will be fulfilled. Jeremiah 49, 34 through 39. It will be fulfilled. And so we can see these things developing. How about the red heifer? You say, well, I heard Israel has the priesthood. They have the DNA. They know who the priests are. They know who the Kohanim are. So they can do their temple sacrifices. They can rebuild their temple. Why is that important? Not because we believe that we need to have a rebuilt temple per se, because Christ fulfilled the temple type. But because Israel, in unbelief, is prophesied they're going to rebuild their temple. And so that's why we need to understand that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Matthew 24, and other scripture. Are you aware of these things? You're in a church that teaches these things. And we need to be aware. I was in Lancaster County yesterday. And we were at Old Country Buffet. No, we were at Shady Maple Smorgasbord. And we were eating there. How many of you have been there? Amen. Let's go. And it was good. We went there and we were there. And Lily kept wanting to go downstairs and shop. So I said, Lily, maybe you could get a head start. Let the other two go with you. And so we let them get a little head start. They have a nice gift shop downstairs. Very nice place in Old Country. Shady Maple. But while we were there, a whole table of people was next to us, and my wife got talking to them. And she got talking to them about me and prophecy, and next thing I knew, she's calling me over. And these men and ladies, they wanted to talk about prophecy, and it was a glorious time. We had a good time right there in Shady Maple Smorgasbord talking about prophecy. And they wanted to get our track, get on our website, and you know, all that, and get into this kind of stuff. So keep it going, Patty. And so anyway, we had a good time with those folks, and it was a blessed time. But how about you? Can you discuss this with people? Can you help them? You should be able to. People need to know this. You're not just getting this for yourself, beloved. You're getting this to help others with it. How about our young people? You're going to need to know these things. It's going to be these prophecies and the truth about prophecy and how it all fits together in the prophetic puzzle is going to be a survival guide for the end time. You see, let me say something tonight. There are many churches, they believe that the second coming of the rapture is an any moment signless event. So they don't even want to talk about prophecies like this, because it has no bearing. I'm going to be gone. Before any of these prophecies are fulfilled, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to be raptured. So don't even teach me about them. All I need to know is someday the Lord's going to come, Trump's going to sound, I'm gone. That's it. Well, if you have that mentality, you're going to be a lazy looker. And let me tell you something. Your body is set up so that the older you get, the more you long for heaven. Let me say that again. Your body is set up so that the older you get, the more you long for heaven. Now what do I mean by that? I mean that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? And our bodies get older. How many of you have had a relative that's passed into heaven or passed out of this world? All right, I was going to go a little further with that. Just hang on. And it got to the point where you didn't want them to go, and you prayed that they wouldn't go. But they were born again. You knew they were saved. And now it came to the point where you actually prayed, take them. Take them. Yeah. You know why that was? Because you knew they were going to a better place, and you knew their body was now so inhospitable to them staying here that it's better that they go. Paul said it's better. That is true of a natural life. We have the great tribulation of pain and suffering before death. Some people less than others. Thank God for that. Amen. I pray it goes easy. But I'm saying to you, the second coming of Jesus Christ, this world will become so inhospitable that we'll say, how long, O Lord? How long? You see, it is not a great, big, wonderful world that we live in. It's a cursed world. And the end of the world is what's needed, ultimately. And that is the way you need to view this. And so we've been looking at, and tonight's the third of Don't Be Deceived, about how the Islamists and the globalists are about to see the power of Jehovah God. All right, don't be deceived about how that will happen. And let's look at that third point about the prophetic puzzle and not being deceived about how the Islamists and globalists are about to see the power of Almighty God. We went yesterday to the Millennial Theater to Sights and Sounds. How many have been there? And we went and saw Daniel. And I saw there a great overview of Daniel, really an overview of the book of Daniel. And in that book, you saw the pride of Nebuchadnezzar and his grandson Belshazzar. And you could understand Nebuchadnezzar's pride because he didn't recognize Jehovah God had given him his power and his wealth and his authority. He thought it was his god, Marduk, Bel. And they had all these names, like they named Daniel Belteshazzar, and then they have his grandson was named Belshazzar. And they named all these Babylonian names. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he was so prideful, and Daniel, he took over Daniel's country. And he thought because he conquered Daniel's country that he conquered his God, and his God was stronger than Daniel's God. But he had something to learn. He had to learn that the God of heaven, the God of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these Jewish boys that he gave Babylonian names to, that God is stronger than his God. Do you know politicians need to learn that today? Do you know people need to know that today? In David's day, people needed to know that David's God and Israel's God was stronger than the Philistine god Dagon and stronger than Goliath. Do you know today we need to see God glorified, just like in Daniel's day? And Nebuchadnezzar, he was starting to get that lesson when he had a dream, and none of his wise men could tell him the dream. He didn't just want the interpretation of the dream. He wanted the wise men to tell him the dream. Why do you think that he wanted the wise men to do something no king had ever asked anybody to do, to give them not only the interpretation, but the dream itself?
Authenticity, that they weren't just making up something for him to hear.
Absolutely. You see, he didn't want to be bamboozled by these wise men. He was a little shrewder than that. And so he said, you give me the dream and I'll know that the interpretation is the real thing. If you can't produce the dream, then you don't have any power. And none of them could do it. None of them could do it. But he had conquered a nation called Israel. And one of those Israelites said that, I can't do it, but my God can. He'll give me the dream and the interpretation. And that's exactly what happened. And he said, your dream is this big, big statue with a head of gold. It has the breast and the arms of silver. It has the belly and thighs of brass. And then it had the legs of iron with the feet of iron and clay. And these were four empires, including his, that would come on the scene and rule over Israel and over the world until there was a final stone cut out of the mountain without hands that would crush the image right at the feet, and the whole image would disappear, and a mountain would grow and cover the earth. And this was God's kingdom that was going to come. I told my wife, you know the theme of the Bible? This is it right here. The kingdom of God is going to prevail. And we know that that's the case. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that, did he? He thought he was the be-all, end-all. He'd conquered everybody, including Israel and Israel's God. He thought his God was stronger. But wait a minute, God had to teach this guy a lesson. And I believe there are people today that need that lesson. I believe the Islamic crowd needs that lesson, that it's Jehovah God, not Allah.
Amen.
I believe the globalist crowd needs that lesson, that it is Jehovah God and not the God of evolution and AI that will prevail. I believe today we need some Daniels, we need some Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednego that'll say whether or not we get burned, we are going to trust our God and not bow down to your image. You see, even after Daniel interpreted the dream and became greatly favored, Daniel was in another place at this time, but Nebuchadnezzar had that old pride come back in his heart. He'd not believed in the God of Daniel. He believed that he was a God among many gods now. He respected him. But he didn't believe in the God of Daniel. So while Daniel was out of town, he built this huge image, 60 feet high. And we saw it at the Millennial Theater, Sights and Sound. Wow, that's a big one. And it was all made of one material, which meant this guy had money. In fact, the Bible said there was no kingdom like his kingdom in riches.
Pure gold.
Pure gold. Can you imagine that? That high, made of pure gold. And so he was saying, by making that image of pure gold, I am the only kingdom. There's going to be no silver kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. There's going to be no brass kingdom of the Grecians. There's going to be no iron kingdom of the Roman Empire and iron and clay of the revived Roman Empire under 10 heads. There'll be no kingdom like that. And there certainly will not be a kingdom of a stone cut out of mountains, which is the Lord Jesus' kingdom that's going to smash it all. No, I'm the one. Remember that? And so he set it up and he said, now everybody is going to hear music. And when you hear music, you're going to bow down and worship that image. And if you don't worship that image, guess what? I got a furnace of fire. And it is my form of personal hell. And if you don't bow down to my image and do what I say, I've got powerful men that will snap to my attention and will throw you in to that fire furnace. And they only found three people out of all those thousands of people that went to Dura that would not bow down. Everybody else bowed down. Doesn't that remind you of today? Don't we need some people today that have some courage, that will stand up for Jehovah God and speak up for Jehovah God? That's how Kent Hovind got where he got. He just spoke up against evolution and God blessed him. Just where you are, stand up. Those three guys, they stood up and they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar and they went right before Nebuchadnezzar. And as they were there before him, he said, look, I'm going to give you guys another chance. I'm going to send you to hell. I'm God. I can send you to hell. The body they may kill, this mortal life they may take away, but God is still God still. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, look, we're not going to bow. You may be able to throw us in this furnace. You may be able to kill us, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. Whether he does or he doesn't, we're not going to bow. Because our God is God. And he was in a rage. By pride comes that kind of anger, right? He was in a rage. I got angry one time. I was in a car and I was mad at my GPS and I was yelling at my GPS. And my wife said, you shouldn't do that. I was mad at her for telling me I can't yell at my GPS. But it was a rage. It wasn't trusting God. I'm just saying to you that he was in a fury because his pride was crossed, these three punks dared to cross the great Nebuchadnezzar, and he had them thrown right in there. You know what? That's when your witness really counts, when you're under the gun like that and you trust God. Like Stephen did. Remember that in the book of Acts? They stoned him, and he said, you know, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, just like Jesus. And Saul of Tarsus began to get convicted at that point. That led to his salvation. But these guys, they got thrown in there, and the king goes up there, and they were thrown in bound, head and foot. And everything was burned off of them by the fire. Even the men that threw them in were burned up. Just in case you question how hot the fire was, they were burned up. God wants you to know, no, it was a miracle that was done here. And he saw three guys thrown into that fire, but he said, I see three in there, but there's four in there now. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. And what I don't like at the Millennial Theater, they'll have an image of Jesus. They should just have a bright light. And I speak up against these things. I talk too much. And some guy ahead of me said, you're rude. I never said another thing after that. I zipped it. Because he was paying to be there, and I needed to keep my mouth shut. He was right. Wasn't the time to preach. But I'm just saying that, he saw a fourth in there. And the fourth was like the Son of God. Because it was the Son of God before he became a man. I'm so glad no matter what you and I go through, when we trust him, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I don't know what you're going through now, but listen, if you're worried, maybe you need to go through more worse things so that you can look to the Lord, because he's with you in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar should have known better, right? After that happened, he acknowledged the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that he is a real God. He respected that God, but he had still not given up on his pride. He still was not a true worshiper of Jehovah only as being God. You say, how do you know that? Because he had another dream about a tree and how that tree was cut down and all the birds and everything, that animals that took under it left, and the tree had a band of brass around it signifying judgment. Seven times or 7 years passed over it, and he called in Daniel. Nobody else could interpret it. Daniel went up and told him what it meant. He said, King, I hate to tell you this. I would to God I didn't have to tell you this. You remember this, right, Luke? But he said, you're going to be like an animal, and you're going to lose your mind. And for 7 years, you're going to be like an animal, lose your mind. And then your understanding is going to come back, and they're going to take you out of the field where you're going like an animal to live in the field. And they're going to bring you back, and you're going to be the king again. So you know the Lord gave you this, that he puts anybody over the kingdom that he wants. By the way, the globalists need to know that. Amen. They help cheat in these elections and put in who they want and take out. And they've got all these lawfare ways to do it. All these politicians that they buy and pay for to do their bidding. All the prostitutes that they buy and pay for to do their bidding. They've got it all going. And they think they do it. But my friend, I want to serve notice on the globalists. Maybe they can do it and maybe they can't. But God can, if he wills, to put anybody in he wants to. That's why you and I need to pray to God to put in, so that we can live peaceable lives in America. And all godliness is nothing, but we don't deserve it in America. So we need to go humbly to our God. And so, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he didn't learn his lesson. He didn't listen to Daniel. Daniel said, I counsel you, king, break off your sin and get right with God. Oh, no, he didn't listen. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And boom, the judgment came, and he lost his understanding. In 7 years, he was like an animal living in the field, like an insane man. And then God gave him his senses back. And you know what? When he gave him his senses back, he said, this is the only God. He got the message. Would to God his dumb grandson Belshazzar didn't get that. He never got it. The silver Medo-Persians were right outside the palace when Belshazzar was drinking from the temple items that Nebuchadnezzar had burned the temple and taken it to Babylon. He was drinking booze out of that and having a party there while the Medo-Persians were coming, thinking, oh, nothing can get me. We've got the walls of Babylon. We've got chariots that ride around that. There's no way you can get in, not knowing that Cyrus would dam up the river and come in from under the walls. I think some of these globalists might think like that, thinking Donald Trump could never get in. We've got him so tied up in court. We're taking his money. We're doing this. If God wants him in, he'll get in. That's why you and I ought to humbly pray to God. As we see that God would give us more time. In our country, and Christians should be in prayer meeting, and we should get right with God. And after 9/11, Brother Jose, remember all those people came to churches, and they all were happy in churches, but it wasn't real. There was nothing real going on there. Man, we ought to be praying to God and fasting for our country. And I'm just saying to you that this is a picture of the glory of God, that God wants to be glorified and will be glorified. By the way, the same thing is in Jeremiah 49 and verses 34 through 39. I want you to look at Jeremiah 49, 37 and 38. I'll read it. You follow in your copy there. It says there in 49, 37, 38. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies. Kind of sounds like what happened in Babylon with Belshazzar. And before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. We already saw that's an air invasion. And then after that, an army will invade. And after their nuclear sites in western Iran and central Iran have been destroyed, then an army will come in. And he said, and I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. And so, you know, the chief existential threat to Israel today is from Iran. And Benjamin Netanyahu will say that. Anybody in the know will tell you that. Iran is their chief existential threat. And they want to get rid of Israel, but they're very careful. They're like chess. They move everything into position. They want to make sure their nuclear missiles are armed with nuclear warheads. And they're ready to shoot. And they're working on that right now. They're developing that as I'm preaching and putting the finishing touches on. That is the existential threat. That's why God is so angry at the leadership of Iran. For that reason. And God said that he will strike them at the chief of their might, which is these nuclear plants and missile sites. In Elam, western central Iran, they'll be struck by air weapons hitting Bashir and all those places that Israel hit with the radar around places like Bashir. I looked that up. That's right. So God says that he will do that. And he is going to replace the government in Iran with one that he sets up. Notice what it says in verse 38. And I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. What is he saying there? The regime in Iran, who are they? One of the men tell me, who rules over the regime in Iran right now? They are specifically what?
The Ayatollah.
Yeah, and what's their religion?
Islam.
Islam. Shiite Islam. Now, they think that their God is the God. They think their Mahdi is the one. They believe in the end time crazy scenario, which I won't get into tonight, but they believe it. They're about to be schooled, amen? This is part of their schooling. God said, I'm going to set up my throne there. By that he meant, I'm going to put in the government that I want there. Whatever government that is, God, and I'm going to replace those guys. And all those people in western central Iran, they're going to be having a nuclear disaster. And they're going to have to be refugees going all over the country, all over the world, I mean. Because they won't be able to live there. And in the next verse, it says they'll come back in the latter days, which I believe is in the millennium. They won't come back till the millennium. But at any rate, I'm just saying, God is saying, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm God, you're not God. God's saying to the Ayatollah and the Islamists in Iran, I'm God, you're not God. How dare you fight against Israel? You fight against Jerusalem, you're going to be in trouble. It's a burdensome stone. Anybody tries to take Jerusalem. But then, I want to say that not only from Jeremiah 49, not only from Daniel, but from 2 Chronicles 20, 22 through 25, God could defeat a globalist coup in the United States of America. You're living through one of the most amazing times in the history of the United States of America. These people have had power over our country since 1913, and especially since World War II, when they took over CIA, FBI, and all the agencies. The media. CIA gives talking points to the media, what to say. I've told you this over and over again. We're under captivity. And yet God gave us this Constitution. I believe in American exceptionalism. Now listen to me, and listen to me well tonight. Two nations that I know of that were dedicated to God. One was Israel, when the temple was built and Solomon dedicated the nation to God, and fire came from heaven and the glory of God came and the temple was filled with the glory of God. America, after our first president, was inaugurated in New York City. He walked to ground zero. And there he made a statement that this nation better have the Lord be their God or they were going to be judged. And he dedicated the nation to God. And the glory of God descended in revivals in the churches of America. But we've turned from God. Kick prayer out of the public school. Kick God out of the government. Denied the God of the Bible. And immorality has come in like a flood. But you know what? I've talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I want to read this to you because I see here a hope for America. And I want you to look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 20, it says there in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Now listen to me. I believe that we have a three-pronged enemy, the globalist, the deep state, and the shadow government, which I won't go into, that have taken over our country. They had Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and the Bible says God sent ambushments against them. And it says in verse 23, they fought each other and defeated each other. And verse 24 was the culmination of that. It says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Wouldn't it be great if in 2022, after all the election fraud, that there were enough Republicans in the House that would do something, and enough people in America that stood up and have fought in the courts, that during the years 2022 and 2023, that ambushments have been set up by God. You know what an ambushment is? Something you can't see, but it's there. I believe it's very possible God has ambushments for all these globalists set up. They haven't sprung yet fully. But wouldn't it be great if in 2024 all the dead bodies were seen? That it all manifests itself? This year, if Trump gets elected, they've already said we're going to start a race war, a civil race war. These are statements from these people. If he gets elected, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. They have their plans. Oh, we're going to take the military from him. And we're going to have the very thing they accuse him of doing, they're going to do. They're not going to let him have power. Why? Because it's their democracy. What that means is we rule. You don't. Now let me tell you something. God will decide. God gave us this country. He gave us this Constitution. But God's people are the key. You are the key. I am the key. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand up and trust God. And the Bible says that when these Middle East wars take place and Israel's enemies around them, like the Saudis turn on them and the Jordanians and all the other Psalm 83 enemies turn on them, I want you to notice what it says there. It says, God's going to defeat them. It says, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. Why is that? That men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Not the globalists. Not the Islamists. And by the way, you notice they get together now, the globalists and the Islamists. Isn't that interesting? You know why that is? The devil can work together. He knows how to get his people to work together. But God is over it all. He's greater than all. And so let us, number one, have courage to stand for the true God. And number two, let us realize that we need to be humble. Let God be exalted. Let him have the glory. Because he's going to glorify his name. And people, whether they want to admit it or not, like Nebuchadnezzar, they're going to have to acknowledge it. Amen. Either they're going to bow and be trampled, or bow and accept Jesus. Your choice, right? Your choice. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about